talk to you about knowing God. We get to know God. We know who He is. And because we know that we know that we know, that shifts something in us. It moves us. And we need those moments. And this morning can be one of those moments. So I'm going to start off by just reading a passage of Scripture to you. Ben quoted the Scripture in the preach last Sunday. And if you didn't hear it, I would encourage you, get online, have a listen. He quoted out of Colossians. He quoted Colossians 1 and then he quoted Colossians 4. And it was very purposeful because for the next 4 weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the things that flow out of this. So Colossians chapter 1, just so that you know, Colossae was a little town, Middle Eastern town. The gospel had arrived. The word had been preached. Paul the apostle had got there and preached the gospel. And people had given their lives to Jesus. And then they'd moved on. Paul had moved on. And the little church, a little group of believers started to take hold of what they'd heard and then started to live it out. And then Paul sends messengers and people back to help and encourage them. And the messages came back saying they're doing really well. And he wrote this letter to them to say this is what's happening. So Colossians chapter 1, and I'm just going to read from verse 3. And yes, I do need a tissue, but that's hay fever. So from verse 3, I'm going to read to the end of verse 12. And this is what he's writing to them. He says, "We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the saints because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. Of this you heard before in the word of truth, the gospel." So when he went and preached there, he preached the gospel, which is the good news about Jesus, and he calls it the word of truth. "So this word of truth, the gospel, which has come to you, as indeed in the whole world, it is bearing fruit and growing, as it also does among you since the day you heard it and understood the grace of God in truth." Key words, the grace of God in truth. "Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow servant, he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf and has made known to us of your love in the Spirit. And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light." What good news! Paul heard about their faith. Not only did he hear about their faith, he learned that they'd come to love one another and love all the other saints. They were excited because they'd become part of a family of people who believed God. They were adopted as children of God. And because in the message that they received, God had sent the message through Paul as he preached about what Jesus had done, that there was a future that was laid up for them, prepared for them, a hope in the future that they would not just have to live in this world, but that God had prepared a place for them. And so they had this increasing joy because of this faith, because of the love that God had poured out into them, and because of the hope that was coming. And so this is great. And in verse 6 it says, and Paul says, it is great because you heard and you understood. And hearing needs to lead to understanding, as every parent says. Sorry, hay fever doesn't always respond to Telfer. Right. And so the gospel of the Lord Jesus starts to bear fruit, not just in Colossae, not just in Corinth, but as we know, the gospel gets preached and it continues to be preached throughout the world. As Josh prayed this morning at Gateway Church, well, they're still sleeping, at Gateway Church in the United Kingdom, in the city of Poole, there's going to be a proclamation of Jesus that takes place there. There will be fruitfulness. People are being saved. Last Sunday, there were people in this room who for the very first time put their faith and trust in God. Now, I'm pretty sure that they had some knowledge of God. And we're going to talk for a little while, this verse that we read here, and I'm going to verse 9, which is where I'm going to actually land us. It says, "And from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Pray for you that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding." I'm going to start there. Why did I tell you the story about my little Bibles and about my history? I'm here because someone prayed for me. Before I was born, my grandparents, who loved God, were praying that when I was born, I would come to know Jesus. My parents desperately wanted me to know Jesus because I was their son. And they wanted me to live a kind of life. Both my grandparents and my parents have passed away now, so there's no one praying for me. Is that true? Nonsense. There are many people praying for me, but I can tell you something else, is that there's one in heaven who prays. Jesus, the great high priest, the intercessor, sits at the right hand of the Father and prays for us. And so this morning, as you come into this room, you may think it might just be random you hear, or it may be that I'm trying my best, I'm working through what I have to do. But I can tell you this, you here because there's someone who's got a plan and a purpose for you. They're praying for you. They want you to be here. And you may not even know who that person is. On Wednesday night, we had a prayer meeting here. Our group of churches that we're part of have been spent the whole of Wednesday throughout all the way from starting here in this time zone all the way around to the other end of the time zone, praying. Praying what? Praying for people to come to know Jesus, and not just to know Him, but to grow in Him. And the purpose of our knowing is so that we might grow. Paul's praying for these guys, and he's saying, from the moment I heard about your faith, that you are starting on this journey of actually discovering and knowing God, I have not stopped praying for you. Praying is not a moment, pray, yes, forget, move on. Praying is a constant thing that goes on around us. God's purpose for us is that we would know Him. Now, I intended to make this like more like a little Bible study for a bit, because it talks about, in that verse 9, it talks about knowing the knowledge of His will. Does everyone want to know God's will? Yeah. And then further on in verse 10, at the end of verse 10, it says that you might increase in the knowledge of God. And so there's this thing of knowing that we need to get our head around. So what does it mean to know God and to know His will? And how do we get there? Because when we know God and we know His will, it means that we can actually live a life that pleases God. And when we know Him, things start to change in us. We know that we're loved, as I started off this morning. You know that you're loved. You know that there's a purpose and an end point for your life. And you know that God is going to lead you forward into that. That's what knowing means. It starts to become more than just, I know about God, but I know Him. And you get to know God in a way that actually means, I know what He's like. I know what He likes. I know what He doesn't like. And I start to know Him. Now, that might seem very abstract to you, but just think about it in your human relationships. You get to know someone. You get to know what they like, what they don't like. And sorry, I get transported back to when I was 20, when I wrote those little words. There was a girl I really liked, and I wanted to know her. And she didn't really want to know me. But I wanted to know her. So to get to know her, I had to do some things. I had to spend some time. I had to find out from another source or two sources or three sources what would be the way that I could actually do the right thing so that we could have a conversation, that we might get to know each other. I have to tell you, I was successful. Ha, ha, ha. But you see, not all knowing leads to intimacy and love and good things. Because, you know, sometimes we can know things about God, but it doesn't actually translate into life. Now, that might scare you. Really important to know, though. Because I've got these big blue tabs, so we skip in our Bibles to Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1, Paul talks about the gospel that is also the same message that is being preached everywhere that causes people to come to know the grace, the mercy, the peace, and the love of God. They embrace what God is doing. They need to do that when the gospel is preached, because actually, without the gospel, they are lost. And he talks about how when the gospel got preached to some people, they had a knowledge of God, but it didn't work. So I'm going to just read to you out of Romans 1, and I'm going to read from verse 18 to 25. Just follow along. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known, there's that word, what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in things that have been made. So they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. Therefore, God gave them up in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, to dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. That's a pretty scary piece of scripture, isn't it? So if you think about knowing God, Bible tells us that actually God makes himself known all the time. Everybody gets to know God. It's what they do with that knowledge. Because if they take that and they do not accept it, and their minds are twisted and they suppress the truth and they don't want to look at that because they don't like it and they turn away from God, what actually happens is they become futile in their thinking. They actually become fools, and God gives them over to that. The worst part about having choice is that you get what you choose. Have you ever had menu envy? I made a choice. I thought I'd go with a fish. And then you got a steak. How about when you've been so programmed by your circumstances and the people around you and the stuff you watch on TV and all the arguments heard floating around, when something about God is said that you don't accept it, you actually reject it. You close your mind to it. You say, that can't be. That's nonsense. That's just fables. And people do that. And people do that often. And sometimes Christians are so caught in this place of being double-minded that we get trapped in that same thing. We might say, well, I'm a Christian. I've read the Bible. I believe this. And then someone says something about God, or you have a revelation of something. You say, it can't be that. You see creation, you see beauty, and then you just don't know how to respond to beauty. You don't respond to God. So knowing God actually can bring us into life and understanding and wisdom, or it can lead us into judgment and ultimately can lead us into death. Enough about that. Except to say, if you're sitting in the room today, or you're struggling, or maybe you're online and you've got this thing going on in your head, it's not really like that. Just know this. Sometimes when you know something, it actually makes you accountable. And what you're hearing today actually makes you accountable. Because when you do stand before God, the one God, the only God, the righteous God, you'll remember this. So back to the knowledge that brings about life and wisdom. You see, just knowing something philosophically about God is not knowing God. Because the knowledge of God comes to us through spiritual wisdom and understanding. In fact, when you come to know God, it's really not just about you knowing, it's about God showing. It's about God making known to you. It's about your eyes that were closed opening. It's about your ears that were deaf hearing. And that actually comes from God as a gift. So as you're sitting here this morning, and I remember I said to you, don't worry too much about what the preacher's saying and how he's saying. This is one of those moments where you start to say, Lord, am I hearing you? Do I really know you? And if you're really not sure about that, it's not the time to harden your heart and to exchange the truth you're hearing for some other kind of a idea. It's a moment to lean forward towards God and say, I really want to hear. I really want to know you. And maybe you know God. Maybe you've been a Christian. I've been a Christian for 50 years, more than that actually. But maybe now, even now, I'm learning to say, Lord, I don't know enough. I don't really know you as well as I would like to. And I certainly don't think I know you as well as you would like me to know you. And so I lean forward towards that. And by faith, open my heart and say, God, please show me. So now when we're reading this passage, I'm just going back to the Bible because it's more important than my words. So verse 9 says, so from the day we heard, we did not cease to pray for you, asking that you may be filled. That's what I'm asking for you this morning. Asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. And the Greek words are all, I'm not going to bother about those, but there's three different words that get used to actually draw a bigger picture for us. And the truth is this, we sometimes want to know God's will, but we can't know God's will without actually knowing God. And the truth is, putting those two in opposition is wrong. They actually come together. If you want to know God's will, you need to know God. And when you get to know God, they increasingly become part of the same experience. So you get to know God, you don't need to now say, and now there's a second thing here that's called his will. Because when you know him, you know what he's like, you know what he wants, you know who he is, and it actually starts to infuse into your very being. We grow by knowing someone. We grow by seeing and hearing. We know what that person likes and dislikes. We know what their desires and their longings are. And if we love them, we'd really want to make that happen. And so when we start to know God's heart, we discover that he's got longings and desires for us that he wants to make happen. And so we start to say, I want what you want for me. I want what you planned for me. So knowing God is actually about seeking his will. It's not just seeking his will so that I can do what you want me here to do now, but I can do other things over here. It's knowing his will all the way through. You see, in Romans 1, when I read it to you, there was a thing about their spiritual blindness that God gave them over and said, right, you want to do that? You have that. You want to walk away and go and do your own thing? You do that. But there comes this moment when God comes to us and we, by faith, instead of running away, we've leaned towards him. He comes to us and he opens us up. He starts the journey of opening us up. And this morning, even as we're sitting here, there's a spiritual dynamic. There's a deep work of the Holy Spirit happening even as I'm speaking to you now. Because God is actually pushing into your heart and he's busy saying, I want you to know me. So don't think it's not happening. It's happening. You can't escape. Isn't that glorious? He wants your blindness to go so that you can look and see. And see how absolutely beautiful he really is. He wants you to know the depth of his love. The kind of love that you've never, ever known on earth apart from him. He wants you to know that love. It's the kind of knowing of God. So when it talks about that you grow in the knowledge of God, it says, in all spiritual wisdom is the applied knowledge of God that comes into us by the Holy Spirit that actually allows us to take hold of the truth about God and translate that into our personal experience. So when I say God is love, I need to understand what does that look like? What does that mean? And then God says, let me just give you an example. And if you've walked with him for a long time, there's probably thousands of examples of how he loves you. The greatest and the prime example, of course, is that he sent his son Jesus to take on human flesh, all of God in a human body, limiting himself to the world that we live in, to live like us, to live the way that we should have lived, to live the way God always planned for us to live. And then we look at Jesus and we see this is how he lived, but I'm not doing that. And he says, yeah, but I've sent Jesus so that you can see that he is just how I want you to be. He loved you. Jesus laid down his life for you so that you might learn about the love of God. So if you want to know about the love of God, look at Jesus. I'm not going to go on a long diatribe about this is the Christology, the teaching about Jesus, except to say this, that Jesus will reveal himself to you if you ask him. If you sincerely ask him, Jesus, will you show yourself to me? He will do it. He will most certainly do it. I had a personal testimony 10 days ago from a man living in Pakistan who's come here. Did I tell the story in the church? Don't think I did. Seniors. Oh, well, seniors got it first. Sidetrack. My washing machine that was 30 years old, our washing machine, I say mine, our, Gail's washing machine, I just have a relationship with the washing machine that results in clean clothing. 30-year-old, massive machine, one of those, you know. It was coming to the end of its life, and we needed a new washing machine, so we, through a friend, made a contact, bought this, I won't do any advertising, washing machine was being delivered to our house. So it comes along in the back of a truck, and the guys phone, and they, you know, like, sir, will you be there in 15 minutes? And they bring the washing machine, and the driver gets out of the vehicle, comes to the door, says, could I just deliver the washing machine? Could you please show me where I need to bring it? So I said, well, I'd like you to come around the outside because too many little bins, put it in this room just there. Thank you, sir. He goes back, and he's got a helper. This man must be 50. He's got his helper that must have been his father, you know, like he's 80. And on the back of the truck, they unpack the washing machine. They take all the packaging off. They make sure everything's there. They put it on a special trolley. They bring it all the way in, puts the washing machine in place, balances it up, you know, gets it perfect, connects the water, connects the power, makes sure it's all working. I thought he was going to wash some clothes. He's like, wow. Perfect. What a great job. Finishes that. He says, sir, is there anything else that I could help you with? I said, yes, I want you to take that old one away. Yes, but that's our pleasure. We'll take that away. Does it still work? I thought, oh, this guy's got a plan. Okay. Does it still work? I said, yes, it does, but not very well. Sort of eats clothes. So anyway, he loads it up on the truck, and then he comes back, and he's got his little, you know, please could I get a signature? So, of course, I'll sign it, and then he says, there's a little space there for comments. Were you happy with the service? So it was Monday, and I was feeling good, and he did really do a great job. So I wrote a bit of an essay. You know, I'm a preacher. Really great service. Thank you. These men have done a great job. They represented your company well. They should be rewarded for their diligence and their hard work. Something like that, you know. And the guy's very grateful. And he stands there at the door of his truck. And his helper, the old man, is watching from the back of the truck. He's checking me out. Looks a bit strange. And he asks me a question. He says, do you know Jesus? Whoa, you're going to get fired from your job now. Don't bring religion into the workplace. Of course not. I was excited. What? You ask me, do I know Jesus? So, of course, I can't miss out. Yes, I know Jesus. I know him. I spoke to him this morning, and he spoke back to me, and I love him. And that, and the guy's face just cracks into this enormous smile, and he just says to me, and I know Jesus too. I said, really? And I can hear his accent. Not that I haven't got one. So where did you come from? Where did you know? He says, I come from Pakistan. And he says, you know what happened? My sister was dying. She was really sick. She was in hospital. Her skin had turned black. And the doctor said to us, she's not going to live. And that night, Jesus came into her bedroom and he spoke to her. And 2 days later, she walked out of hospital. And then she took us to this church thing that was underground church. And we all became Christians. And we were sitting there and Jesus came in the room and started speaking to us. Now, I'm not sure that I understand all of that in the fullest of way he expressed it. And I was actually flummoxed. I just, you know, I should have asked about 500 questions. He asked me which church I go to, where I go, and all this stuff. And I'm like, I'm just giving him information. I should have been asking, tell me more, give me this. I want to know the whole story. And he said, thank you. He got in his truck and drove away. And he left me with this question in my heart. Why did he ask me if I know Jesus? I don't think he saw something special in my face. I think in his heart was a desire to actually get an opportunity to tell someone else about the fact that he knows Jesus, that God's done something in his life, because he couldn't keep it in. Because when we hear about Jesus and we get to know him and we draw into him, something changes in us. We start to grow. And that's why I'm talking to guys who got baptized last week. That was a milestone, but it's a growing point. It's like you got planted into the fertile soil, and now your roots have got to go deep into Jesus, because he wants you to grow into this incredibly strong representation of who he is. He wants your life to shine like a light in the darkness. He wants the fruit to come on your branches like you're the most fruitful tree that ever existed, because that's God's purpose and plan for you. Now, when you've just been baptized and you've given your life to God and you're facing the next part of your life, you don't know what's coming yet, you should surely want to grow like that, surely. What about when you've been 40 years on the journey and it feels like you've been planted in the desert and it's not working so well and tough? I have to tell you, you need to know God the same way as when you first came to know him. And maybe you're sitting here and you're saying, well, that's all malarkey. That's probably the word I wanted to say. I don't believe any of this. Well, I have to say, you'll be accountable for that, because actually, if you don't believe this, what do you believe? Have you become futile in your thinking? Have you chosen something else? God's saying, come, ask me, I'll show you, and I will help you to get planted in knowing me, and that will grow into something in your life that is magnificent. Because he wants something to happen in our lives. He wants spiritual wisdom, which means that we get to know who God is, but we get to know how to apply it. He wants us to take his express written word, which is the revelation of Jesus as he gave it to people, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written down for us so that we can actually get to know the nature of God. Read your Bible if you want to get to know. If you don't know where to start, start at the Gospel of John. When you're halfway through, come and ask me. I'll give you something else to read too. But start there. That's how you're starting to gain some information, some background, But then you take that, and as you're doing that, wisdom, spiritual wisdom, starts to grow in your heart. Because the Holy Spirit comes and he takes the truth about Jesus and he shows you how it should change your life. You start to know what he's like. You start to know what his plans are for you. And you start to say yes to those plans because they're better than the plans you've got. And you start to say, well, Lord, if that's what you want for me, I want that. I just don't know how to get that. And he starts saying, well, choose this. Lean in here. Walk with this. Make some choices. Make these choices. They're good choices. And so we start leaning into God because faith and hope and love start to grow inside of us. We start to look at the people in church and we start, before you're like, oh, do I have to go to church? Now you start to come and say, well, that's a strange tree. The fruit looks a bit weird, but that one looks pretty good. Can I ask some questions? Can I come and see what's going on? Can I grow a bit more? And someone comes to you and says, you also got a couple of weird branches. We need to help you prune some, and you'll grow. And you'll grow in your knowledge of God. And you'll grow in your faith, and the love in your heart will start to grow. And love for God, but that scripture said, and love for all the saints. What will happen is you won't just love God, you start to love the people around you. You start to love your enemies. Heaven forbid. No, heaven empower that you start to love your enemies, that change starts to happen. And maybe you're living in a relationship with people around you that are causing you to grind. And you're like, ah, I can't I don't love them. I don't even love myself. What's going on? And God says, I want to come into your life. I want to put the knowledge of God into you that transforms you, that the wisdom that comes from the applied knowledge of God, it says, and understanding, that word understanding, synesis, what it actually means is, it means insight. Suddenly that blindness that was there before, pop your eyes open and suddenly you look and you say, oh, is that why this is happening? She was just rubbing me up the wrong way all the time, but I didn't actually see that she was hurting and I was the one that was doing the hurting. And I need to stop, and then she'll be able to stop too. And so wisdom starts to happen in our lives, and we start to get insight, and we start to change because God's busy about changing us. He wants to transform. And we preached out of 2 Corinthians, remember? I'll just go back and remind you. Remember 2 Corinthians 3, and it says, and we are all being transformed from one degree of glory to another. And this comes from God, who is the Spirit. That's what it means. The spiritual wisdom and understanding we get is the transforming process of what God is doing in your life. And it's by His Spirit. And we know Father, Son, Holy Spirit are one. There is but one God. Jesus pours out His Spirit on us so that we would know the Father. The Holy Spirit opens the way for us. When we read the Bible, He opens the Scriptures to us so we can understand. When we look at people around us, He shows us what they like, or He shows us what we like when we see ourselves reacting. And so we're able to grow and to understand and to develop into all the things, all the kind of things that God wants us to be. Now, I've probably got too many pages of notes here, so I'm going to just get to the short part now. Actually, it's a long part, but I'll just make it short. So let's just go back to something I dropped in earlier. I didn't drop it. Paul did it. Put it in there. Said he wants us. He's praying that we might be filled with the knowledge of the will of God. And I asked you early on, do you want to know the will of God? And most people sort of did a vague nod. So I'm assuming, yes, you do want to know the will of God. And I can remember days in my life where like, really, I want to make a good decision around this. What is God's will in this thing? And I'm like, getting onto it, and I had to make this whole plan, you know. How do I know the will of God? I wrote pages of notes, you know, pros and cons and ups and downs and all kinds of things to know the will of God. I can tell you what I've discovered over a long time now and through the Scriptures, I believe, is that one big decision about the will of God is actually prefaced by hundreds of other small decisions about what God's will in my life is. So if I want to know the will of God, I need to start at the small things. Every day, every single day, you and I are faced with choices about what we will do. Hundreds of choices every day. How do I do this? How do I do that? How do I talk to this person? Where do I go? What do I eat? What do I do? Lots and lots of little choices all the time. I can't stop at every choice. Open my Bible, do a quick Bible study, check out in Google, do an AI search, then come back, phone three counselors and get them to give me all the information so then I can decide what I'm eating for breakfast. That's ridiculous. What is the will of God regarding breakfast? Eat healthy. Lord, do I need to eat breakfast? Yes, stop being stupid, eat breakfast. Simple things. But what about that as we daily live our lives, not looking just for God's advice and knowledge of God in a big question and then living another kind of way here. What he's saying is, I want to immerse you in my life. So God, it's not just I want Jesus to come to me. He says, I want to take you and I want to immerse you in Christ so that the air that you breathe, the thoughts that you think, the ways that you behave are an overflow of the expression of the life of God in you. Because he wants to come in, but he wants you in him. So that when you're starting to think and starting to grow, and you don't know quite what has to happen next, you start asking different questions. You start saying, Lord, I don't quite understand what the truth around this is, or I don't quite understand what this is. Would you give me wisdom? I've got a bit of information. It's very easy to get information, especially in our generations. Well, maybe for younger than me, better, easier. But we can get information on anything. You know, I mean, you got a Bible in 25 different languages on your phone. You can research just about anything, and you might have knowledge, but that knowledge, unless it's submitted to God, unless it is spiritual wisdom and spiritual knowledge, can actually push you away from God. So the starting point is, Lord, I'm seeking you. I want to know you. I'm going back. So how are you going to make decisions? Start with small decisions now. Lord, I'm going to choose you. Lord, I'm going to seek your face. I'm going to read your Bible. I'm going to start reading the word. Lord, I'm going to pray. If people have been praying for me all this time, I'm going to start praying for myself. Maybe just pray for yourself if you haven't been doing any praying. Start off, God, I need your help. I don't know what to do. And then shut up and let him talk. You might just say, just read the Bible or ask your mom. Yeah. Simple. And then you start to develop this thing. Well, Lord, I know what your word says. I've just read this here. It says to me, I read it out. I didn't go further. I'm not going to unpack this, so don't worry. May you be strengthened with all power. Oh, Lord, what does that mean? It means if the Holy Spirit's revealing something to me, that he then empowers me to respond to what he's revealing so that I can do it. Oh, that's awesome. With all power, what does it mean? All the power you need to do what I've just told you to do. Not suddenly I'm the most. No, just I can do it. According to what? What power? According to your glorious might. So there's limitless power. God doesn't mean he gives you all his power. He gives you exactly what you need to just walk out what he's asked you to do. For all endurance and patience. Oh, Lord, I want you to take away all my problems. And he says, no. I'm empowering you to walk through what you're walking through with power so that you can overcome, that you can display my goodness and my grace as you believe and trust and walk with me. But Lord, what about just taking away all these problems? He says, well, first of all, you made them most of the time. So you're going to have to unmake them. And then you're going to walk out what it looks like so people can see that I'm at work in your life. Oh, okay. All right, so this is going to be a journey. So for all endurance and with patience, which means not the instant me I want it right now. It's like I will endure. I will go through this with patience and joy. What is the joy part in this? Well, as we obey and as we walk with Jesus, we discover that this is really good. Of course, I was blind and deaf and stupid, and I'm less blind and deaf and stupid now. And that's good. That makes me happy. And then I look back over the period of a week or a month or a year, and I start saying, wow, you're changing me, Lord. I am growing. I'm doing things that are different. I never thought I'd be doing this. I never thought I'd believe this. I never thought I'd have influence with people the way I see your hand. When I love them, they actually love me back. Because God is saying to us, I want transformation in you, not for your sake and not for just transformation's sake, but so that the glory of God can be revealed. And he wants the glory of God to be revealed. He wants your life to be absolutely beautiful. Not problem-free, but beauty in the midst of your problems. Beauty in the midst of adversity. Strength when everyone else has got nothing but weakness, but strong to stand, strong to love, strong to forgive, strong to have faith, strong to advance into the places that God calls you to. And so the knowledge of God becomes vitally important for every single step of your journey from now onwards. Because if you are, Dave read in the prayer meeting this morning, do not lean to your own understanding, but put your trust in God. What he's saying this morning to us is, as we sit here, could you turn to him and say, God, please open my ears and my eyes. I want to know you more. Like me, 50 years as a Christian, and I'm hungry for more. He's good. And he will show you things that you desperately need to know. And then he will give you strength and courage and empower you by his Spirit to walk in those things so that what his plan for your life is becomes apparent to you and then becomes apparent to other people and brings him glory and helps others to come to know him.